We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to another Buzz Beat. This is Richie, and as always, we appreciate those five-star ratings, five-star reviews on Apple Podcast. We love any retweets on social media. If you don't have social media, just go tell a friend. Go tell a friend about our podcast. I think we do a good job of covering the Hornets the best way that we know how, in a measured, a smart way, even throw in some comedic laughs here and there, try to keep it witty and light at times. So appreciate all the support this season, even though this season has not been the greatest. We're trying to push out the content, trying to keep this thing going until the off season, where many of you guys are looking forward to turning the page, but still games going on. Before I bring on Brian for a conversation about the extension with Nick Richards, let me just do a quick rundown of last night's game against the Dallas Mavericks, a game in which the Hornets won 117-109, pushing their record to 24-51 overall. Strange game, a game in which the Hornets did lead by 21 points. And the end of the third quarter, the Dallas Mavericks made a run. Charlotte did a good job overall, just limiting the turnovers, fighting off those runs that Dallas had. They had another run late in the game in the fourth quarter, and they won the three-point battle, going 11 of 28 from behind the arc compared to just Dallas's 9 of 36. We actually got the news that Mark Williams returned for the game, and he played. This was after six games off with a thumb injury. DSJ was also available and played. He had some clutch shots down the stretch. He was potentially going to miss the game with an illness. And then nothing new from the other players on the injury report. You got LaMelo Ball out for the season with an ankle injury. You got Cody Martin out with a knee injury. Terry Rozier was unavailable with a foot injury. And Kelly Oubre as well was on the sidelines with a shoulder injury. So they had to bring up Théo Maledon. They had to bring up James Bouknight, who actually played a little bit in the first half, which was interesting to see. And Svi Mykhailiuk had his first career start for Charlotte. And he even got a guts of a cat burglar from Eric Collins for a corner three late in the game. And as I mentioned, the Hornets had a sizable lead in this game. I wouldn't say that they were like in control of the game. It just felt like Dallas couldn't get things going. And Dallas, to me, they just don't seem like a team, even though they're desperate for playoff positioning, they don't seem like a team that would scare me at all in the playoffs. Kyrie Irving, Luka, in theory, it feels like it would work out better than it really is, but they're a team that just hasn't gelled, and they're undersized, and Hornets took advantage of that. So Nick Richards, which we will talk about here soon with his extension, he had a very good game, good two-man game with Dennis Smith Jr., good cutting, good pick and roll. He's always going to put pressure on opposing defenses to box out because he's trying his hardest to get that offensive rebound. In 26 minutes tonight for Nick Richards, he finished with 10 points, 11 rebounds. All of those happened to be on the defensive side, and he was 5 of 9 from the field. I thought DSJ, he was very attack-minded. And his shot, just overall this season, is not something that you would write home about. But he hit 2 3-pointers in the fourth quarter. One of them was the one that put the Hornets up with 13 seconds remaining. And actually, that was the last bucket of the game to put Charlotte up 8-117-109. That was the final score. So it's good to see him come back to Dallas and make the most of his opportunity. He's a guy that continues to put pressure on the rim. And in terms of his shot, like, I feel more comfortable with him shooting a pull-up mid-range shot than I do a catch-and-shoot standstill three-pointer. But he made a couple of timely ones in that fourth quarter. P.J. Washington, also hometown kid. He was not born in Dallas, but he did move to Texas in high school, played AAU there as well. Very good outing for him. He just felt very comfortable with the ball in his hands. 3-point shot wasn't falling over the course of the game, only shooting 2 of 8, but he finished 11 of 22 from the field with 9 of 14 in 2-point range. He filled up the stat sheet. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. He was doing it all. He also hit some timely shots, hit some off-foot floaters. It just felt like he was very under control in this game. And then the other player that rivaled him for the production was Gordon Hayward. And he's always under control. Smooth game in the mid-range where he finds his shot when he needs to, or he feels like he needs to. If the Hornets are struggling to find a basket, he's going to do that. He converted on a couple of step-backs, sidesteps. He loves to stop on a dime and do that spin back to where he creates a lot of space and fades away. He's just also a heady player and makes backdoor cuts. DSJ had a backdoor find for him, driving his direction. That's just basketball 101. If someone drives your way, you cut backdoor because your man is going to be so preoccupied with the driver. And then when he needs to, he finds himself as a distributor as well. He finished with 9 assists, which was tied for the team high with DSJ. Very nice pass off of a curl in the first half to a cutting Nick Richards on the opposite dunker spot. It felt like it was a pass that not many people can make just because of the way that Hayward was driving one way and at the last second threw it over his shoulder to Nick Richards. He also had a late clock driving alley-oop to Mark Williams. Par for the course with Gordon Hayward. And one player that did not go unnoticed for me was JT Thor. This was one of his better games. I think it was a career high for him in terms of points scored, 12 points, 4 of 8 from the field. He just seemed more fluid, more sure of himself. And obviously the defensive presence is always there, but he nails 2 3-pointers in the first quarter, which extended a streak of 7 straight games with a made 3-pointer. He nails a baseline jumper in the second quarter, a pull-up shot in the fourth quarter when the game was in the balance. So it's about the fluidity. It's about being more aware of where he needs to be and just being more sure of himself. So don't want to not talk about all the player performances without mentioning his name. And to be honest, guys, that's really all I got for this game. There's not much to talk about at this point in the season. Thank you for sticking with me on this just relatively meaningless game for the Charlotte Hornets. It's crazy to think that there are only 7 games left and the season is winding down. But the Hornets will play these Mavericks again, this time in Charlotte, which was interesting. They had not played the Mavericks up until this point of the season. It was the only NBA team that they hadn't played yet. So they'll play them twice in a matter of 48 hours. So that's all I've got, and that's enough about this game. Let's go ahead and bring on Brian.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now joined by Brian here to discuss some newsy stuff for the Charlotte Hornets, some positive news. I guess most people probably view it in that light. Before we dig too deep, Brian, I'm sure you're enjoying the March Madness that's been going on. It's been a very odd tournament with a lot of, I guess, upsets, if you want to call it that. It just feels like I'm not a college basketball guy, but it feels like a watered down year.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, I think the tournament has been really fun so far. But yeah, I think compared to last season, maybe it was because of the sizzle of, you know, a really good Duke team and the Duke UNC matchup and a good Kansas team. So you had these like awesome blue blood programs in the Final Four. You had lots of NBA talent. I do think having, you know, the, you know, 1, 2, 3 picks, you know, Banchero, Holmgren, and certainly Jabari Smith on, you know, high seeded teams probably added some intrigue to it. And, no Victor Wembanyama, no Scoot Henderson, the Thompson twins, they're not in it. So I do think that, maybe that's taken away some of it, but I still think it's been a fun tournament. And depending on how things shake out, we could still have like a really good Final Four as well. So, fingers crossed for that. But yeah, I've been enjoying. You took in some games, Richie, in Greensboro, right?
No, that was Lee.
Oh, okay.
You're crazy.
I guess I wasn't paying much attention. I was only paying half attention to some messages that were getting sent around during the opening weekend of the tournament. But he got to see Kansas State play, which it's been a fun team to monitor thus far.
Yeah, and I think I started talking about the point guard from Kansas State, and that's when Lee ran with it and said that he was actually All right, so let's get into this news of Nick Richards here getting that multi-year extension. I think it kind of came a little bit of a surprising time. There's a couple of reasons why it could be surprising to most, but they did extend Nick Richards for 3 more seasons after this one, obviously, for a total of $15 million. So on average, $5 million per season. I think the timing of this was interesting because he was going to be a unrestricted free agent this offseason, and Charlotte decided, hey, we're not going to compete with other teams. We're going to lock him up. And obviously Nick Richards too, like he did not want to necessarily test the market. Maybe he thought $15 million was good value for him. And I think from my perspective, $15 million is very reasonable for the type of player that he is. But I thought what was interesting for Charlotte's perspective in terms of the timing, first off, they didn't wait obviously for a free agency to do this. And then maybe they just wanted to make sure that they did secure his services. But what happens if the lottery comes about and Charlotte lucks into the first overall pick? And I know that Wembanyama is a completely different type of player than Nick Richards, but now you have Nick Richards on a roster where he is now probably slated to be the third center. But you could have the same conversation starting this season where most people probably thought Mark Williams was going to overtake Richards at an earlier point, but he did not. So I think the story is great. I think it's awesome to have a second round pick become a second contract player here in Charlotte. I can't remember what pick he was overall, like in the 40s somewhere. But yeah, that's kind of my initial gut instinct. I thought the timing was interesting. I thought Charlotte not waiting to the lottery again, maybe make an adjustment. But again, if you get Wemby on this roster, having a third center on this team making $5 million is not really going to make that much of a difference anyway.
Yeah, no, agreed. Yeah, he was the 42nd pick in 2020, and that was Mitch Kupchak traded back into the second round to draft Nick Richards. So Charlotte saw something in him, and it took a little bit of time, but it paid off, and he's the guy that clearly, like, sent from the jump, because they took Vernon Carey Jr. in the second round that year as well, a center out of Duke. Carey's the guy that I actually liked more as a prospect and still think he has a chance to eventually kind of have a similar sort of jump. Remember, he is a little younger than Richards as well, but you know, very early on, Richards established himself as being higher in the organizational hierarchy than Vernon Carey Jr. And that obviously, like, as the roster changed over, Vernon Carey Jr. is shipped out in the Montrezl Harrell deal late last season. And then, you know, the opportunity was there for Nick Richards, with Mark Williams not being quite ready to go, I suppose, at the start of the season with a veteran coach. And the word out of training camp was that Richards was playing really, really well. And that wasn't just noise. Like, he came out of the gate playing great basketball, and was probably one of the better stories around the team the first third of the season, like as things were starting to unravel before they had, like, completely come untethered. And, you know, it's the second time in his career he's made a really big jump in terms of player development. He had something happen during his time at Kentucky, where before his junior year, he all of a sudden emerged as a big time, you know, went from being a rotation player in the SEC to being one of the best big guys in college basketball, one of the best true centers in college basketball, and a star for that Kentucky team along with Tyrese Maxey. So anyways, as far as Richards goes, just like a huge congratulations to him. This is life-changing money. $15 million over 3 years is a lot of cash, but it's also what seems to be like a very reasonable contract for the team to get a solid, you know, B-plus backup center who's young, who's improving, that can also spot start for you, you know, is a really, really nice piece to add. And Richards just offers this discrete set of skills here where that are valuable at the center position. He's not like an explosive leaper, but certainly he's a guy that can play above the rim and catch a lob. He's a big time rebounder. He's a hard screen center, sometimes to his own detriment. Richie, I know you and I have talked about this, just the amount of offensive fouls, especially early in the season, that he was getting whistled for. And then, you know, like, he had an interesting, probably about midway, two thirds of the way through the season, it was interesting because he got hurt. Plumlee was likely getting ready to get moved at the deadline. Mark Williams started taking on a bigger role, and there were no more minutes for Richards. And, he hung in there. He rode that out. When Plumlee was dealt, he gets bumped back into the rotation. And then with Williams hurt, he's starting again and playing quite well for a defense that is playing. And I know sometimes you got to be a little, you got to take these post All-Star break, March, April NBA statistics with like a bit of a grain of salt, but like The Hornets are playing better defensively. Richards is helping them out there. Second straight season above 5% block rate. So he's giving you some rim protection. He's giving you some mobility guarding pick and roll, and certainly giving you some impact on the glass on both sides of the court. So, yeah, I thought it was a nice deal for both player and for team. And Richie, even if they get Wembanyama, like these are obviously our very good problems to have, right? To have, you know, too many good young players, even if it does create a bit of a positional logjam, because this salary with Richard strikes me as one that would be very easy to move for a guy that would be able to, you could copy and paste onto a lot of teams as a backup five or a sort of like spot starter rotation player. But just, you got to give Lee on this podcast credit, because Lee was always, I think, a step or two higher on Richards than you and I were, Richie and Spencer.
Well, I had no thoughts on Richards coming out of Kentucky, but yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like coming into this past season after two NBA seasons and summer league and G League play, like all this, you know, we had more information on him by that point. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't think he was, sub NBA player or anything like that. I just thought he was backup centered. You know, I thought he was like centered sort of deep depth, you know, like your third center, the fifth or sixth, big guy on a roster. And a player like that is someone that's going to bounce around a lot. That's going to maybe be in and out of the league at times. And instead for him to jump up to this, to become a guy that can be, or like a backup five, that means you're a rotation player. That means you're in an 8-9-10 man rotation. That means you have a little bit more stability. That means you have a little bit more league-wide value. And so it's a huge testament to Richards, to the coaching staff, to whomever helped push him on this development. And look, if they don't get the number one pick in Victor Wembanyama, who, by the way, is someone who has said he wants to play four in the NBA. I mean, we'll see how that shakes out. But maybe you could actually have some ecosystem with all of these, you know, giants on the same roster. But if they don't get Wembanyama and the center rotation is Williams and Richards going forward, I think that is that's nice. Like, I think that's a really nice center pairing to have with LaMelo Ball into the future.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second here, but like, yes, Lee has been the highest on Nick Richards, but I've always seen the value in what he could bring. And I'm like you. I thought that he would be a guy that would just be further down the bench, and to see his role change coming in as a rookie and playing minimal minutes. And then last year he had some spot starts here and there, and he started to pick up his minutes, and now he's playing, I think, close to 20 minutes per game. And you're right. The skills that he does bring, it's very consistent on an every night basis. He's a screen setter. He's a very good pick and roll big. He gives LaMelo or whatever point guard he is playing with a radius to catch the ball. Obviously, he's not necessarily the lob threat. He can get, you know, alley-oops here and there. He is amazing on the offensive glass. He is a guy that can also finish through contact very, very well. I put out something on Twitter the other day where he had a team high in offensive rebounding percentage. He also had a team high in shooting foul draw rate at 25.5. And then he's third on the team with and ones as well. So just finishing through that contact. And defensively, you mentioned it, he's also a rim protector on the back end. He can intimidate players as they get closer to the rim. So when I think about him and Mark Williams, they also put this out on Twitter the other day. I almost feel like if Richards never got injured, I'm not sure how many minutes Mark would have played this year in terms of kind of ramping that up. But in terms of their play style, I feel like they have a lot of similarities. And I don't know if the redundancy is a bad thing or a good thing. I think having continuity within the roster is pretty cool. But I think having a change of pace from going from Mark Williams to Nick Richards, if Wimby obviously is, we don't look into him. What do you think about that in terms of just having a similar role and a similar play style with those centers? I think maybe if you have it with a wing, it's a little bit different because they're more interchangeable. But with Richards and Mark Williams, you know what you're getting with both of them, and it's very, very similar.
Yeah, I think it depends on almost which side of the floor you're talking about, which is why it's an interesting hypothetical. I think it's I think first off, I think it is situational. I think both of these things are like situational, and context is important, obviously. So like, you know, sort of putting that stuff to the side, having two centers that you can guard, pick and roll the same way, right? That you can, you know, drop with both of those guys is going to be your base defense, but you can also, because of their mobility and length, you can do some stuff. Like you can, obviously with Williams, you can switch out some, you can bring him up to the level. But just, I think it's nice having two guys that your base defense can be the same at that anchoring center position. So that's where I think it's like a real, real asset. And again, because Williams offers some scheme versatility, defenses aren't just seeing the exact same team every time, same coverage every single time down the court. But again, you can be consistent over 48 minutes with your center rotation in terms of like, again, what your base defense is. Offensively, it's like you'd like to have one of those guys that could stretch a little bit. I think just looking at the way the NBA is set up now, it's really nice if at least one of your two centers can give you some, you know, some pick and pop, some floor spacing, just given, you know, some other constraints of the roster and some things you may want to do against second units and close games out and blah, blah, blah. Assuming PJ Washington is a part of the picture going forward, I think he helps smooth some of that a little bit because, you know, your main power forward is going to be a guy that can shoot, right? And is like a versatile 3-point shooter from all regions of the beyond the arc and can shoot off movement, can shoot off pick and pops. And because he can play some small ball center for you, like situationally, you can still get to some five out looks. I think it has the ability to be a strength for you defensively. Offensively, I think I'd like maybe a little bit more variety, but the fact that like where they overlap skill set wise is offensive rebounds and screen and dive. I think that's like a nice area to have some overlap because both guys, you're going to have a pressure point on the rim in the pick and roll game, no matter who's playing center for you, whether it's Richards or Williams. What do you think, Richie?
You brought up some good points. I do think having some stretchability, if that's a word, out of a center could be a good thing. Yeah, I don't know who gets there first. I mean, I really don't know who gets there first. I do think playmaking too out of the pick and roll probably leans Mark Williams. But again, it's just very minimal. So yeah, I just thought the redundancy was something that I noted, and it just, I don't know if I like it a lot, but again, this move is such a low, like it's a low risk move to me. Like if it doesn't work out, $5 million is $5 million. It's not that hard to move, like you mentioned. And then also too, if Nick Richards happens to fall so low down the depth chart, not that I think that's going to happen, you know, him sitting at the end of the bench at $5 million again, is fine because you can still build the roster around the other pieces because he's not taking up that much room. So I guess when it all comes down to that, it's really just a low risk move, even though I feel like the overlap with Mark Williams feels a little bit problematic at times.
Yeah, agreed. And it's not like you can't play those guys together or anything like that. You know what I mean? So, but it is, as we've discussed plenty of times on this podcast, this team's inability to re-sign draft picks, like re-sign like solid young players, like maybe not stars, but letting guys like Malik Monk go, and who's now turning into a guy that could be player of the year, you know, or pardon me, sixth man of the year, a candidate, trading McDaniels at the deadline for just really no, you know, inexplicably doing that.
Yeah.
It is also interesting too that like, I think this speaks to several different things, including like the difference between contracts, rookie contracts for second round picks versus first round picks, and just in how many different ways, like the Miles Bridges situation through roster construction in flux for this team. But it is kind of wild that like Cody Martin and Nick Richards both get extensions before PJ Washington does. I mean, like that's going to change. I mean, PJ's going to get seems likely to get his big payday in a matter of months here. And he's finished the season nicely for Charlotte, I think. So, but it is interesting that both those guys have signed on for more money before a guy that's still on the roster and who was drafted, you know, before both of them. But that's more of an anomaly than it is, you know, I think of a sort of like a sign of how the team values PJ. You know, I just think that's the way this thing was always gonna break down.
And I also wonder if PJ probably is testing the market and trying to trust him a little bit more.
For sure.
Nick Richards is like, you know, I can't pass this up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for them to be able to get some cost certainty on Richards is nice. Like it, again, it is, it's a good piece to have going forward. It would have been fascinating to see if someone would have thrown more money at him in the off season. But again, for Charlotte to be able to lock in at this, at what I think is like a pretty team friendly number.
Yeah.
Is worth noting. Can I read off just a couple quick Richards statistics?
Yep. Before we wrap, you can do this. Yep.
Yeah, here we go. Okay. So Richards this season in 213 minutes with LaMelo Ball. So not a huge sample. Again, only, you know, 213 minutes. Charlotte with a net rating of plus 7.4 points per 100 possessions in those minutes. Charlotte scoring over 119 points per 100 and allowing under 112 per 100. So in a small sample with Richards and LaMelo on the court together, the Hornets were pretty good. But again, that's a little bit noisy because it's just 213 minutes. Richards this season had caught 10 plus assists from five different players: DSJ, Terry Rozier, PJ Washington, Maldon, and LaMelo Ball. Dennis Smith Jr. assisted Richards 26 times this season, including 24 rim finishes. I think those guys, especially early on in the year before injuries, showed real nice chemistry with empty side pick and roll, because that allowed Richards to roll without certain types of help. And depending on how the screen was set, you know, DSJ could either get downhill into the middle, or he could go baseline and throw the pocket pass back to Richards in the pocket, like in that middle spot on the floor. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with DSJ. He's a guy that I would like to be back for the Hornets if possible. And I think those guys would make an interesting, you know, pick and roll battery off the bench for Charlotte next season. Cause again, I think there was nice chemistry between those two. Richards this season shooting 63% from the field, 68% at the rim. And again, 200, according to NBA.com, their shot tracking, no surprise, but 241 of Richards' 277 field goal attempts came in within 5 feet of the rim this season. Again, he shot 68% on those. And then last number, looking on the other side of the court defensively, I mentioned, Richie, his block rate earlier. Over 5% for the second season in a row, again, on way more playing time this year. But according to NBA.com's tracking data, when you look at their defensive impact numbers, which I don't always love this stuff because it's basing this off of this player being the closest defender to the person who's shooting the ball at the rim. And just like it, sometimes that can be hard to measure in charts. So like I sometimes like using these numbers, but I realize that they can be imperfect. But Richards defending 4.3 field goals per game at the rim and opponents shooting under 56% on those looks. That was the best among Charlotte players that defended at least four or more field goals at the rim per game this season. A group that included Plumlee, Mark Williams, and PJ Washington. And yeah, all of those guys were a little bit above 60%. Williams at 60.6%. And yeah, Nick Richards, 55.9%. So there are some interesting numbers, I think, that speak to his development and why a guy like Richards is, you know, I think if you were like, he's not the most improved player in the year, you know what I mean, in the NBA, but if you wrote down a list of 20 to 25 candidates, I think he'd be on that list. Do you know what I mean? So shout out to Nick Richards. He's having a nice third year in the league when he had to have it. And he's earned himself a bit of a payday, and I'm curious to see, depending on how things shake out this offseason, I think there's a very good chance that, you know, he's in the rotation for the Hornets for the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think he and DSJ are probably the most pleasantly surprising players on this roster, and most improved player, probably not going to get it, obviously, but yeah, he has to be in the conversation as an under the radar type of guy. So I think Brian and I are both in agreement here in terms of this just being like a reasonable move, a move that is low risk. But we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Hornets have another game against the Mavericks on Sunday. They play the Thunder on Tuesday, and then on Friday they play the Bulls. And we plan on having a new episode released on Monday for our BuzzBeat Plus subscribers, and then on Tuesday for everyone else. I have an interview with Rod Boone of the Charlotte Observer. And if you want to get your hands on that, visit buzzbeat.substack.com. For Brian, I'm Richie. We'll talk to you guys later.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.